This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's bring in John Greco on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, former Browns lineman, current Browns analyst. Did you hear that clip we just played of head coach Kevin Stefanski, John, yes or no?
Good morning, guys. Yes, I did.
Okay. Do you believe him?
I believe him to a certain extent, yes. I've been going back and forth in my mind about this because a lot of people have been asking me. Rightfully so, it should be questioned. And, you know, I heard when Kevin says, you know, everybody needs to play better, I think that's where it's at. Because I'm telling people, I'm like, okay, you pull Watson, you put Jameis in. You know, is it going to magically cure all of the other issues on offense? Maybe. I don't know. So I don't think it's that simple of a fix. Now, getting back to if I believe him that, you know, it's his decision, one of two things happened or is happening. It's maybe he was pounding the table to bring Watson here, and it wasn't just a top-secret meeting with Browns brass where he wasn't involved, and you know, I don't know what kind of opinions or where Andrew Berry was on all of this, but maybe it was more of a collective effort, and now Kevin, you know, maybe he was pounding the table to bring Watson here, and he's got to stand behind that and try to right the ship. So that's kind of the one school of thought. The other one, the idea that Mr. Haslam is saying, you have to say that, you know, you're the head coach and you have to dive on this grenade and go down with the ship and it's all on you. I don't really think that's necessarily true. I just think it's a collective effort and they're of the mindset that, hey, this, we made this decision. We have to live with it. We have to try to get things right.
John Greco with us on the outline. So the hard thing about this is they actually had a little bit of a running game this week. And, you know, it wasn't like Nick Chubb 5.5 yards a carry, but they were getting some big chunk plays and yet still could not find a way to put points on the board. We saw uncharacteristic play calling, the 3rd and 1 to Cedric Tillman I highlighted earlier in the show. Just seems like an act of a very desperate coach and a desperate team.
Yeah, you're right, Anthony. And we've been, you know, hooting and hollering this whole season. It's like, what happened to the run game? And yeah, I get it. Nick Chubb is a generational talent, and things look different when he's in there. And the reason why he's so successful, and you've heard me talk before, when the play is blocked for 1, he gets 4. When it's blocked for 4, he gets 8. He's able to spring those big plays. But the guys that they have on the roster that they can find those holes and those seams and those gaps and fall forward. And I think that, you know, getting Jack Conklin back, getting him up to speed, having the guys that they have on the offensive line, they can still move people and create space. So, yeah, it was a breath of fresh air to see them at least commit to try to doing the run, get the running game going. And I hope they continue to do that because I think that – well, I know, I don't think. They have to be balanced if they're going to score points and win some games. If they're one-dimensional and they can't run, it's over. So hopefully that they continue to commit to that. But you're right, unforced errors – some of the uncharacteristic things, I think that they're just trying to, whether it be break tendencies or, you know, just try to find something that sticks and throw some gimmick plays in there to try to create a spark. Because we've talked about this before, guys. They practice these things. It's not like Kevin Stefanski is just picking these out of the metasphere and they're just running things. Oh, we should try this right now. They're practicing these things during the week, guys, and they're executing them at practice and greenboxing them for the game. They're not just, you know, randomly picking plays. So they're just not executing them in the game. And you have plays that are obviously every week with false starts, offsides, can't get lined up, you know, ticky-tack penalties here and there that are just, you know, putting them behind the eight ball.
John Greco joining us on the show. Would you change out the quarterback right now?
I mean, me personally, I think I kind of answered that earlier. I just don't see that if things would be that much different given everything that's going on. They can't protect Watson. When they do, it's either a drop pass or he's overthrowing or missing a throw, missing a read. But, guys, you know, I'm looking at it just like everybody else. There seems to be a division in the fan base. It's like half the people want to blame Kevin and blame, you know, everything that went to, you know, the decision surrounding bringing Deshaun here in the first place. And then it's like, okay, well, you know, Deshaun's the problem. We need to get him out of there and put Jameis in. It's magically going to fix everything and they're going to score 25 points. And like I said, I had no crystal ball. Maybe they would. But I just see too many things happening, guys, that I don't care who's back there at quarterback. If they can't pick up twists, if they can't get guys on the right hats in protection, Cooper, Dijon, Honey Mustard, comes scot-free on an empty protection and whacks Watson and forces an errant throw, they got to get the right hats on the right people that are coming. They can't let pressure guys and blitzers come scot-free. So it just seems to be a communication mishap or something happens throughout these drives in these games that I'm sitting here scratching my head. I'm like, God, that just seems so elementary that you get your best five hats on their most dangerous five rushers instead of having two guys blocking one or guys coming through the line scot-free. It just seems like a lack of identification, communications that are really causing them, you know, to stall on these drives. And yeah, I listen, I'm not going to, I don't want to sound like an idiot saying Deshaun's been perfect, but it's hard to truly give him an evaluation because half the time he's running for his life. And the other times, guys, he's back there. And you know, if you watch the wide copy, they have six, seven guys in protection to try to help the offensive line, and there's two or three guys out in the route, and they're covered. There's two guys on each receiver. So Deshaun's then running or trying to force a throw. So it's not perfect, guys. I get it that that's the easy solution and you need a spark, but if you put Jameis in right now, I don't know if it's going to magically be better and they're going to score 20 points and win these games. They still have a lot of issues they need to clean up.
We got the great John Greco joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Well, going back to that fourth down where there was a penalty, they were going to go for it. This is late in the game. They were going to go for it. Then Jed Wills gets called on the false start. Then they elect to kick the field goal. A lot of people were upset, and I said, well, gosh, they're just telling you right now. I mean, there's no threat over the top because there's a back line there. So that part of the field is taken away from you. And then there's also the fear that they have and what you just said, the protection and the faith or lack thereof in the quarterback there. Did he make the right call to go for the field goal there, or was it just, hey, we got to throw up our arms, we got to try to throw something to the end zone and try to have some faith in Deshaun Watson?
I think the lack of success in the red zone this year and the lack of converting on third downs in particular, guys, I get it, it was fourth down, but I think you have to take your points. They still had timeouts at that point. And to try to rely on the defense to stop a couple runs and get the ball back, and then you're going for the win. Because if they go for it on fourth down there and you know they don't convert, I just think probably with analytics and everything that's going on currently with where they're struggling to put points on the board, I think passing on a should be guaranteed three, I think, was the right move. I know a lot of people want to see them take chances. Kevin Stefanski, historically, and that's kind of in his coaching nature, to be aggressive, to go for it. But where they're at right now, I just don't see how passing up on a hopefully guaranteed three and trying to get a stop and playing for the win wasn't the right move. So I don't know what's happened, guys. You know, red zone, I used to get so excited to watch David Njoku get open, you know, close to the goal line, and have guys shake free and see good throws or run the ball and try to soften the secondary and the coverage right now. But it's just – that's where we're at right now. It's just not there. So until they clean up things, mental mistakes, I mean, you have for a second week in a row in a critical part of a game, a false start, a pre-snap penalty, and it's killing them. So they have to get it – you have to get it straight. Guys have to focus. Until they do that, they're going to be forced – they're going to be living in these third and long situations, these dire situations, fourth and goal from the 10 and out, and trying to make a heroic play. Until they clean up these little things, guys, we're going to continue to see this product.
John, your first year in the league, when you were with St. Louis, That was a 2-14 team. Was that a young team?
It was mixed.
Okay.
We had some veterans that were still kind of spilling over from the greatest show on turf. But so just a history lesson there. So the head coach was fired after week four. And if you guys remember, Jim Haslett, he took over. He was the old Saints coach, defensive guy. Mm-hmm. He took over, and he said, look, he said, we're doing whatever the F we want. It reminded me of Dan Campbell. He's like, we're going to be faking punts. We're going to be throwing flea flickers. We're going to try to win a game. And we won the next two games. And I was like, oh, God. Everybody was, hey, we're 2-4. We're still in this thing. We can win and get to 3-4 and try to get back to 500. And, of course, we lost the rest of the games that season. But I'm no stranger to this and struggles and changing quarterbacks, as you guys know.
Well, the reason I asked the question is obviously this team built a little differently because it's the oldest starting group, at least coming into the season in the NFL, or it was one of the oldest. Not to mention, you know, you talked about winning those two straight games. I mean, this team is 1-5. They're running around talking about how they still have the meat of their schedule, the AFC teams, the AFC North teams. But how is that? How is a locker room when it truly does go off the rails? Were there leaks that started to pop up? What was, you know, the way that it went down over there? Because we're starting to hear some stuff.
Yeah, you know, Anthony, that's a great question. And veteran-led teams, teams that have a lot of guys that are experienced, that are good character people, are always going to hold it together and remind everybody that, hey, look, our goals are still in front of us at this point. And to your point, they haven't played a divisional game yet, and we will this Sunday. But veteran-led teams, teams that have good character people and professionals, will stick together and ride this thing out no matter what happens and continue to show up every day to practice, to work, and try to win games on Sundays. Now, I've been part of toxic situations where you see guys start fighting in the locker rooms and pointing fingers and calling people out in the media. And that's when it gets really, really ugly and it makes it tough to show up to work. So I know that this Browns team has enough character guys, professionals on the team. They're going to say the right things. They're going to do the right things. They're going to show up to practice no matter what the record is, because that's what you have to do. This is your job at the end of the day. Us as fans, of course, we see the product and we expect and we deserve wins and to see a good product out there on Sunday. But those guys, regardless of the situation, I think are still going to keep their things together and show up and work hard every day and try to win games, because that's what, frankly, what we deserve, guys.
How much college football have you watched?
Quite a bit. I mean, I watched the Buckeyes game. I've been pretty busy these last couple weeks with kids and stuff,
yeah.
But why? What do you got?
You started to watch Shedeur Sanders and Quinn Ewers and Garrett Nussmeier and Pam Ward. And
Of course I have. And, you know, Chad, I'm all too familiar with the talk of, okay, what college quarterback are we looking at in April and May? I am all too familiar with that through my career as an NFL player because, you know, I was, you know, we've all seen that Browns quarterback jersey with 100 names on them. I was there for probably half of them, so I am all too familiar with that situation. I don't want to necessarily think about that right now, but I've watched those guys, and as we've seen, guys, rookie quarterbacks and drafting quarterbacks, my God, is it a coin flip, and you never know what you're going to get. You could see a guy in college that looks like an absolute world beater, and he gets to the NFL, and it's just not there. Now, you have some guys this year that are making their rookie debuts, and their teams are winning, and they're performing well. So, you know, it gives you kind of that, rekindles that hope, in all of our minds that someday, you know, the next quarterback, the young quarterback, could be the answer, and we'll see. But I'm not there yet, guys. I can't start looking at that and thinking about April and May.
Well, see, that's the thing about a Brown season, and it makes us think things that we never wanted to think before. John, thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, friend.
Guys, thank you. Always good talking to you.
Absolutely. The great John Greco joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.